produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Well, a very great morning to you, and I'm sending you warm wishes and warm greetings in a very, very cold South Africa. We have had a few days of serious cold weather, minus degrees in some instances in Pretoria and Johannesburg. It has been minus 4 degrees in places like Bloemfontein in the Free State. It has been as cold as minus 10 degrees. So most of us are staying indoors, trying to keep warm, especially as South Africa is still going through COVID Delta variant challenges. And COVID, of course, has a tendency to multiply itself in the cold weather. So just remember us in prayer. All of you out there from the different nations, continue to lift us up, South Africa, in prayer. Just continue to pray. And also against the violence. The violence has subsided a lot. There's a lot more peace, but there are some areas where there's still some challenges in some of the provinces. So praise the Lord. Today, I wanted to talk about a scripture that comes from Luke 12:39. And my message, if you want a title to the message would be titled, Beware of the Thief. Beware of the Thief. And Luke 12:39 reads as follows. It says, but understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. I'm going to read it one more time. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken to. So basically, I mean, when we read the scripture and break it down, it's telling us that, listen, nobody's going to open their house to a thief. If any of us knew at what time the thief was coming, when to expect the thief, we would all definitely make sure that the thief doesn't gain access, doesn't gain entrance into our homes or whatever it is. But because we don't know what hour the thief is coming, many of us let our guards down. And as a result, the thief is able to gain entrance into our houses. Let's first talk about who the greatest thief is. We have, you know, human being thieves. There are people. I was a prosecutor for many years, and one of the charges that I had to prosecute against many individuals was on the issue of theft. So we have people who steal, but the greatest thief that we can actually look at is from John 10:10. The Bible tells us who the greatest thief is. And in John 10:10, it says that it's the devil who came to steal, kill, and destroy. And so the devil himself is the greatest thief of all time. And we must know and be alert and be vigilant to the fact that he's always on the constant lookout to steal our lives. He says he wants to kill. So, you know, when he wants to kill us, that's another way of stealing, because he wants to steal our lives. He also wants to steal our salvation. He's not happy that we're in relationship with God. So stealing his salvation and our relationship with God is on top of his list to make sure that he cuts off any connection that we have with God. So if he cannot kill us prematurely in the physical realm, then he will try to kill our relationship with God and make sure that we do not fulfill our kingdom purpose and mandate on earth. He also wants to, he's not only looking to steal your life, he's looking to steal our salvation and relationship with God, steal our health. My goodness, in this time of COVID, I can't think of a time where he really was so focused on this. COVID is such a demonic disease. I've seen how it operates, and it operates by first also attacking your mind, bringing confusion to a point where you almost get to want to embrace death, because it attacks your mind and brings a lot of confusion. And so the aspect of stealing your life is at the top of his list, stealing your health also. And hence we see the manifestation of so many diseases in this day and age. He wants to steal your finances. He wants to steal your resources. He wants to steal your family. If you're a woman, your husband and your children. And if you're a man, your wife and your children. He wants to steal your possessions and basically anything and everything that pertains to you is what the enemy wants to steal. That is his mandate and that is his agenda, according to John 10:10, is to steal, kill, and destroy. So what I'm saying this, we should not allow the knowledge of this to make us fearful, but it should definitely make us vigilant. This is a call. This scripture that I've just read to you, Luke 12:39, around understanding that the thief is there, he's out there, the thief is coming, and cautioning and warning us. It is cautioning and warning us to be alert and vigilant in the spirit. So I don't want us to start getting afraid of the thief or full of fear. But it is a call. The scripture is a call to be alert, to be vigilant in the spiritual realm as well as the natural. Nobody knowingly welcomes a thief into their house. And that's the reason why many of us have burglar bars. We've secured our homes with burglar bars. We've secured our homes with security alarms and our cars. And the reasoning behind it is to make sure that thieves are deterred, because none of us are out there welcoming thieves or wanting thieves to come in the house. So I want us to also talk about what are the times that you and I are most vulnerable to being caught off guard. What are those times? Because we need to be aware that the thief, as we've said, he has an agenda, he has a purpose, and the agenda is to steal, is to kill, destroy. So he has an agenda. We must be understanding of this. And because we're understanding of this, we need to also look at the times. When am I, or when are we, most vulnerable to being caught off guard? Because there are times in our life when it is actually easy for the thief to come in, because somehow in the natural and or spiritual realm, we have let our guards down. We need to look at some of those times. We need to investigate those times. We need to interrogate those times so that we make sure that our guards are up at all times. We don't drop our guard and unknowingly give the enemy opportunity to come in and to do what he does, which is steal. When is it that you and I become vulnerable to letting our guard down? Well, one of the areas when I was looking at it, I realized that one of the areas where oftentimes as believers, we let our guard down is after we've won a great victory. I call it the post-victory time. Many times we get so caught up in the success of what God has used us to do. We get so caught up in the victory, and we focus on celebrating the victory alone. We get so focused on that, that we forget to be vigilant. We forget to be alert. We forget to stand guard. And I know even in my own cases, you know, we've hosted many conferences, many meetings, many forums over the years. And by God's grace, because he has led us, he has guided us, the conferences have all been successful in terms of what God wanted. And many times what I've learned to do after having a successful conference, which is like every time we have a successful conference, I've learned to do one thing. And that one thing is to take time out to pray for all those who were involved in making preparations for the meetings. So after a time of conference, you'll always have different people doing different things. Others are preparing and getting the venue. Others are helping getting the praise and worship, and others are helping with the food. Others are organizing prayer. So there are people doing all sorts of things. You find that a conference, can never be organized by one person. It is a team effort. And so after the conference has been held successfully, I always find time to pray for everybody and their families who were involved in making preparations for the meeting. Why do I do this? I do this specifically because, one, I know that this is the time we have our guards down. We tend to be so busy that celebrating our successes and focused on the success and the victory, all of those things, that we take our eyes off of the ball. We're just focusing on the victory and we just don't look at anything else. And so that is a time that we let our guard down. So that's the first reason why I pray for all of us. Secondly, the post-victory time is also the time the enemy knows that your guard is down during that time. And therefore, that is the time he will also want to take revenge on you. And he wants to take revenge on you, one, because you've hit him hard. You've claimed a victory from him. So he wants to respond speedily and swiftly to the victory that you have facilitated with God against him. He wants to respond to that instantly. And he wants to take his revenge on you. But secondly, like I said, he also knows that that's a time that you would have let your guard down. You would have let your guard, and you would not be manning the gates spiritually, because you and I are still celebrating the victory and the success. I'm reminded of Elijah and the account of his confrontation with 850 false prophets on Mount Carmel. I think he's an excellent case study on this issue. Remember that Elijah had scored a great victory for the kingdom of God. Elijah had just had an incredible mountaintop experience. He defeated the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. I mean, fire had descended from heaven and the people of Israel had acknowledged God. Remember, they went around saying, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God," because they'd been around there watching this great confrontation between the false prophets and Elijah. And when the fire came down and the signs and wonders and miracles came down, it was clear who God was. And so they were all, the people of Israel, acknowledging the Lord, that the Lord, He is God. And the false prophets were all put to death. This is what was said in 1 Kings 19, verses 1 to 2. The scripture reads as follows. It says, "Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, 'So may the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow.'" One of them, meaning her dead prophets. And it was this death threat that now caused Elijah to run away, to flee from a day's journey into the wilderness. And at one point, Elijah was so discouraged that he actually desired to die. He said, I think it's 1 Kings 19:4, he said, and he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I'm no better than my father's. I am no better than my father's." So this is Elijah now, running away. The enemy came in. He was still just so focused on the victory, so focused on what God had done. And this is the immediate time that the enemy came in post-victory. It was a time of post-victory. And in truth, beloveds and family, Elijah should have been prepared for this. Elijah should have been prepared for this. You know, the false prophets that were all put to death, these were all false prophets of Jezebel. These were false prophets that were submitted to Jezebel, that took their instructions from Jezebel. So in other words, Elijah should have expected a retaliation and revenge from Jezebel. It should not have taken him by surprise that he would have wanted to run away and flee and start to have a pity party and talk about, you know, I'm the only one left, and run into a cave. Elijah should have prepared for this. He should have been on guard. He should have been vigilant, knowing that the thief, who was in this instance Jezebel, would come and try to erase his victory. He should have not just sat back and basked in his victory, but he should have understood that, look, God has just used me to eliminate, to wipe out all the false prophets of Jezebel. He should have been alert in the spiritual realm to expect some sort of retaliation, but he wasn't. And quite often, you and I, we get into that place of celebrating the victory, post-victory, that when the enemy comes in, we are not ready for his attack. We are not prepared for it because we're just focused on celebrating the post-victory. May God open up the eyes of our understanding so that we can understand that, must we celebrate God? Yes, we must celebrate success. We must give testimony of what the Lord has done. But at the same time, we must still be alert. We must not lose our ability to be alert, to be vigilant, to be spiritually in tune and aware just because we've had a post-victory. This is one of the times that the enemy really loves to come in. And so Elijah should have been prepared for this. Let us always be prepared, even in the time of post-victory and celebrating a victory. Remain prepared for retaliation, for response from the enemy. So we must not allow great victories to cause us to take our eyes off of the ball. We need to remain vigilant, lest the enemy score a goal against us while we ourselves are still celebrating our last goal. Let's score the goal. Let's celebrate. But immediately we need to get back on the field, and we need to get back on attack. Back on attack. We can't allow a victory to make us complacent. We can't allow a victory to make us comfortable, but we must continue to be alert, to be vigilant, and to focus on the game and not take our eyes off of the ball. A second time when I believe that sometimes we have a tendency to drop our guard and allow the enemy to come in and steal from us, steal our time, steal our health, steal our lives, our salvation, all of those things. Another time when he does that a lot is when you and I go on vacation. You know, most of us work and most of us take vacations. Sometimes it's family vacations or holidays. And sometimes we go on our own. Or when we have times of leisure, when we're just relaxing. And the mistake that many of us make is that in that time of relaxation, we relax even from taking time out with God. We relax even from reading the Bible. So our vacation time becomes a vacation time of doing nothing, or just going out and swimming, staying in the hotel. All the normal things we would do on a normal day of waking up, having our time of prayer, fellowship, and devotion, all the things that we would normally do around having a time of worship, having a time of reading the Bible, we say, no, I'm on vacation, I'm on holiday. So we go on holiday even from fellowshipping and worshiping and talking to God. Beloveds, listen to me. You and I can never afford to go on vacation from praying or on vacation from reading and meditating and worshiping God. It is just not possible. We can do vacation from work. We can do even vacation from family, you know, and just have a time just where you're by yourself. But one thing we can never do is do vacation from God. There can never be that time. That's when the enemy slips in. When you've dropped your guard in the spiritual realm, you're not praying, you're not reading the word of God, that's when he comes in. So vacation time, holiday time, leisure time is another time that if we take vacation from God, it's a time when Satan seeks to take us out of our normal routine of devotion, our normal routine of spending time with God, our normal routine of reading the word of God, our normal routine of talking to God and spending time in prayer. So just remember that, yes, we can go on vacation. We can go on vacation, and go to a different geographical location. We can go on vacation from washing the dishes. We can go on vacation from cleaning the house. We can even go on vacation from ministry, you know, if it's ministry time. We can go on vacation from taking care of the children. We can go on vacation on all of those things. But the one thing we cannot do is think that we do not need to spend time with God during vacation, during our leisure times. It would be a grave mistake for any of us to think that we can go on vacation from God or from talking to God or from fellowshipping with God or from worshiping God or from reading his word and being directed by him. Vacation time is a test of character. Vacation time is what really tells us and the degree and level of our relationship with God. Because if we are not fully sold out to God when we go on vacation, we will go on vacation even from him. Even from him. That'll be just a time when we swim, we tan, if you need a tan. That'll be the time when we just eat and we do the jacuzzis and the spas and we watch TV, but we have no time for God. So remember, there's nothing, no such thing as vacation from God. I remember hearing from some teachers once talking about vacation and how they didn't like vacation because of what it did to the children during vacation time. And these teachers were having a conversation to say that summer vacations are incredibly hard for them because many times during the school term, they work with students individually and they're able to bring a certain discipline in children in terms of doing your homework, presenting your assignments, and they work hard to bring those children to inculcate a certain level of discipline in their lives. But they say many of those children, after they've now gotten into a routine of discipline, when they come back from vacation, all that discipline is gone because many of the parents would not have continued with that level of discipline. So vacation time, it's a time that is dangerous because you take vacation from all the discipline that you've brought in your life. And I pray that we will learn never to take vacation from God. Because, in our spiritual lives, all it takes is a small little crack in the door to lose spiritual focus and to lose and forget about our spiritual agenda and mandate. So remember, don't take vacation from God. I've just mentioned two times where sometimes the enemy finds an open crack, an open door to come in and to steal from us. The first one we mentioned was around post-victory. Don't focus and celebrate on the victory so much that you lose your ability to be alert and vigilant. And the second one I've mentioned was around vacation and leisure times. Make sure never to take vacation from God. And I want to encourage you in this little time, in your study time, take time to think and reflect about other times where you or I may have let our guards down, and take time also to purpose to be alert in the spirit and to be vigilant at all times. We're going to end this session in the next few minutes by talking about how do we remain alert and vigilant? How do we make sure that we remain alert and vigilant? Well, first of all, the word of God says that we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. So we need to read the word of God, beloveds. Why? Because the word of God exposes the modus operandi of the devil. It exposes how he works, how he operates. It tells us, for instance, that in John 10:10, a scripture we quoted earlier on, that he came to steal, kill, and destroy. So we know how he operates. He operates by stealing, by killing, and destroying. We know that he hates unity, so he will always operate to bring division and strife. Revelation 12:10 tells us that he operates using false accusation. He's the accuser of the brethren. John 8:44 tells us that he's the father of all lies. So all these scriptures essentially inform us of the nature, the character, the agenda, and the modus operandi of the devil. This should enable us in reading all of this about the devil in the Word of God. It enables and empowers us to anticipate his attacks and how he will attack. So we need to read the Word of God to acquaint ourselves with how the devil operates so we can remain vigilant. And we also need to remain prayerful. And the Bible tells us not only be prayerful, but to put on the armor of God. We've read the scripture many times in Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, some versions say principalities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, when that day of the thief comes into your life, put on the full armor of God, so that you may be able to do what? One, to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, still 14 says, now stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness, hallelujah, in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So there's so many weapons that are mentioned here that will help us make sure that the thief is not able to come in. It talks about standing. Verse 13 says, no, you need to stand when the day of evil comes, when the thief tries to come in. Stand your ground. And then verse 14 repeats it and then says, stand firm, even after you've stood your ground. Stand firm. Stand firm. We need to stand our ground, beloveds. We need to stand firm. Don't run away like Elijah ran away into a cave. James 4:7 says we must submit ourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. And the verse 10 of Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord in his might and his power. Then goes to verse 13, which says, stand your ground. And then verse 14 says, stand your ground again. So, and then it talks about the belt of truth. So truth is a weapon. It talks about the breastplate of righteousness. So righteousness and walking in right standing with God is a weapon. It talks about the gospel of peace. So peace, the gospel and peace are weapons. And then it talks about the shield of faith. Faith is a weapon as well. And finally, it talks about the helmet of salvation. Your salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, are all weapons. So I want to just thank God for you, beloveds, and I encourage you to say, don't let the thief steal from you. That is his mandate. That is his agenda. That's what he's going to be looking to do all the days of your life. He's never going to quit. It's a 24/7 thing for him. He and his army, his demons, that's what they're on about. So let's make sure that our guard is up, especially in this time, in this season when there's so many challenges. Don't let the greatest thief of all time steal from you. Take your life, take your salvation, take your relationship with God, your health, your finances, resources, your family, your possessions, and all that pertains to you. Don't let him steal from you. Be alert and vigilant in the spirit. Know that he's coming to steal, and make sure that you put everything in place that God has instructed us to do to make sure that he's not able to come and steal. I love you with the love of the Lord. It's been another great time sharing God's word, which empowers and enables us to walk the walk that he has called us into and to run the race that he has instructed us to run. Until next time, God richly bless you. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Shimikoti Ministries Radio Network with our co-producer, Kayla Paget. Once again, a wonderful week to us all. Let me bring the word of God to us and encouragement to all of us. Wherever you are, we are listening to us by way of our radio, SKM. Let's grow together and let's see what God wants to build even over our lives. So let's get started and let's see what God has set for us today. The scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3-5. It's a Pauline letter and is addressed to the church at Corinth. He has some things that I believe can guide us even as we serve God in these times. I'm sure you're ready, wherever you are. I'm reading 2 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 3-5. The words of the Apostle Paul. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. And I think that's a sobering thought. Paul says, we are in the flesh, but the warfare we are involved in is a spiritual one. It does not require fleshly weapons. That makes sense. You can't defeat spiritual enemies by employing fleshly weapons. It's spiritual. Therefore, you need to employ spiritual weapons. He goes on to say, for the weapons of our warfare, they are not fleshly. Paul says, the tools to fight against our spiritual battle, they are not in the flesh, but they are mighty in God, pulling down strongholds. I want to talk a bit about that. What is he talking about? What are you talking about, Paul? What are strongholds? Let me begin by painting a picture for you. There is a mountain in Corinth, 1,857 meters high. On that mountain, there is a stronghold. That stronghold is a fortress. There is a tower that rises above that fortress. The purpose of the stronghold is for protection of the city of Corinth. So Paul is using that terminology. For you and I, we would wonder, what is he talking about? But for the church at Corinth, they understood that. The Corinthians knew exactly what he was talking about. That just like it is on that physical mountain, 1,857 meters high. Up there, you have a stronghold that is buttressed around by a fortress, a wall. So understand that the nature of our battle, that inside that stronghold, you have got captains that live there to protect. That stronghold. So is your life, so is my life, Paul says. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. It's important to get that. They are mighty, not through your strength, not through your education, not through your smartness, but they are mighty through God. What do, Paul? They pull down strongholds. I love that. Paul says, the nature of the weapons that we are using, given to us by God, they are in such that they pull down strongholds. Generally, there are about six strongholds that you would face after you said yes to Jesus. Hear me now. The nature of our warfare as God's people, it's not fleshly, not fighting against anybody. You're not fighting against Sue, Sally, Joe, Agnes, Martha. You're not fighting against people. It's a spiritual warfare, Paul says. The weapons provided, you need to understand, what are they? They work in such a way that they pull down strongholds. And there are six of those strongholds, Paul says. Generally, six of these strongholds, I'm going to give them to you now. Fear. It's a stronghold that when it has its grip on you, I've seen captains of war, commanders and chiefs, great men and great women being reduced to nobody because of fear. Israel forfeited the promised land. Reason why they wandered for 40 years, almost there, fear. Saul, king of Israel, mighty man of war, could not confront the Goliath. Fear. Fear is a stronghold. When it gets the best of you, it will destroy you. So hear now what the Bible says, or what are some of these strongholds that are important for you and I to catch in our journey as we walk with God. Fear is a stronghold, but also anger is a stronghold. When fear finds itself in our lives as God's people, we find ourselves, or anger rather, not being able to function. Fear can control everything. Anger can control everything. I seem to be loving fear. Anger controls many. Anger makes fools of you, when it's out of control, anger, the strong emotion that needs to be controlled. Without controlling that element of anger, many, they become victims of this powerful emotion. Rejection. It's a stronghold that require you and I to learn how to harness, how to keep, how to control that. Depression. That's a stronghold that can bind you and control, choke the very life out of you. So we have fear, we have anger, we have depression, we have rejection, abuse of any kind, emotional, sexual, physical, mental abuse. It's a stronghold that rips the life out of its victim. Self-hatred, it's another stronghold. Left unchecked in your life takes away your worth and your value and your identity. It's a stronghold. So it's possible that you can be having the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, singing songs of Zion and Hosanna, but still bound by the spirit that controls and chokes life out of you with Jesus in your heart. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk. The weapons of our warfare, Paul says, not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we want to see how we can pull down all these strongholds that set themselves against your life. Now, he tells us, verse 5, by casting down arguments. Oh, here we go. We cast down arguments. We cast out demons. We cast down arguments. Somebody has said it very well. Open doors is what allows demons to come in. Strongholds is what makes them to stay in. We cast down, we pull down strongholds, we cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. How do you do that? So get that image. We pull down fortresses. We pull down walls that we put as defense mechanisms. We all do that. Animals do that. These are walls of defenses that come along with our default setting because of the fall of man, because of our brokenness. put up these walls. And those walls are lies. Lies that come from the devil. Lies that come from our enemy that are seeking to destroy everything around us. What are some of those walls in your life that the enemy has successfully constructed in your own life, and you find yourself bound by them? Those walls need to go, because those walls, they're the ones that makes you feel rejected, feel afraid. Those walls are the one that makes you feel depressed, feel angry, even though now you are a born-again child of God. Walls of lies. How can we bring them down? The fall of man has left walls built up. And these walls control and choke the very life of God out of you. New creatures living old lifestyle, old habits, because of these walls of lies. They need to be pulled down. That's how we overcome them. Brick by brick, we need to take them down. Because if you don't take them down, you remain a child of God, singing songs of Zion, jumping and shouting, but never effectively enjoying your life. What are the walls that the enemy has built in your life? Pain in your body might be true, but it's not the truth. Weakness in your flesh might be true, but that's not the truth. We need those walls to come down. What are some of the lies by which you've built walls that protect you, and you use this to live your life? Today, I believe Paul is wanting us to get that image. Pulling down those strongholds of fear, of abuse, of anger, of depression, of rejection, self-hatred. We need to pull them down by casting down. Second thing that he wants us to understand is a tower. Because in every stronghold, there is a high rise, there is a tower, that is a pinnacle, that is a high building, like the bell tower of Perth. Most nations, when you go, there is a high tower in the city. When aeroplanes are landing, they have to communicate with the controlling tower. So there are walls that has formulated my stronghold after I'm born again. But there is a high rise, a tower that exalts itself. I call them towers of exaggeration. You failed, but it is an exaggeration to say you're a failure. You are weak. But it is an exaggeration that generally I am a weakling. You are in pain. But it is an exaggeration that all the time you are a pain on the neck. Power. Exaggerate. What have you allowed to be exaggerated over your life? How can you appropriate the word of God to destroy the high rise that has exalted itself, that black people won't make it in life? You are black. You are born black, you're going to die black. Black people don't think. Check out your skin color. Black people don't make it in life. You want to end here with the donkeys and cows. Forget about flying. Flying going where? Going where? Powers that exaggerate. The lies. What is it that has been true or truly said of you, but has been exaggerated and formed as your identity and a character? Depression knows my name. I'm known as an angry person. So take it or leave it. What are the lies that have been exaggerated in your life? I am called a rejected baby. Really? What are the lies that have been exaggerated over your life? You leave me for 1 hour here, you'll find me, I'll be cutting off my wrist. Yeah, that's what I do. It is what it is, Josh. You can't change it. Self-hatred. I wasn't born to live. I was born just to be subservient to anything and anyone that comes. So that is why any man can beat me, or they can do whatever they want to do. They can abuse me, because I'm prone. My blood is a blood of abuse. You can follow through history. Suicidal thoughts are part of my life. What are the towers? What is the tower that you have raised in your life that make you to behave the way you are? He says, we cast down arguments and every high thing exalting itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. In every stronghold, there are people in there who behave like captains in that stronghold. These are thought patterns you need to confront. So you are either captive of your thoughts. You can either be, you take your thought patterns captive, or you are a captive to your thoughts. That's right. Which one are you? You see, your head is not just an accumulation, an assimilation of a collection of brains and neurons there, which they fire. There is a mind that is controlled by you. Philippians 4 verse 8. What things soever that are true, that are righteous, that are pure, think on these things. We bring to captivity every thought pattern. I am in charge of my mind. Somebody said, think. It means test every thought. Harness the good ones. Imagine, fantasize only the good thoughts, and keep the ones that build your life. How is your thinking? Because you are what you think. Irrational thinking patterns will choke the life out of you. If you do not control them, they'll control everything that happens in your life. Be responsible today and harness, take your thoughts, align them with what God says about you. We cast out demons, but we pull down strongholds. In Jesus' name. May God bless you. Shimikoti Ministries Radio Network, the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo. Wonderful to trek with you. We'll continue next time. Bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.